week in life prep class, we were in the adult class, we were talking about lying and the commandment not to lie. And so we spoke, therefore, about truth. And there was a very good discussion of things, and the book that we're using is very helpful to understand the Ten Commandments and this one in particular. And the Lord put it on my heart to go a little bit away from the lectionary and to come to a verse that we just heard Betty read to us today, because I think it's important for us to follow up that discussion and talk about truth in what God teaches us in His Word. I remember Bishop Singletary one time was preaching at the medical center, and he was saying, we live at a time where things that used to be considered right are now wrong. And the things that are wrong and things that we consider wrong are now right. And so what's going on, right? So it's a confusing time for us, but there is truth. And that is the reassurance that we have in God's Word for us. So it's important that we read those things. And I felt God leading me to actually a word that came up last week by someone. It was they mentioned Pilate saying, what is truth? And so I went to that section of Scripture and actually want to focus more on what Jesus said that led to Pilate asking the question, what is truth? And that is the focus for today. It's a very, very awesome Scripture. However, it's also very challenging. Are you ready? Good. Jesus was appearing before different people. He was arrested. He was taken before the high priest. He was taken before these guards came, and you know, they took him away, and Peter denied him, right? And so he was in this position now where he was not going to be returning to his disciples until after he died and rose from the dead and appeared to them, right? He was there on the cross, obviously, but he was not with them in the sense that he was safely with them, and the time of his safety was over, his time of fulfillment of the plan for God for all mankind to be saved was now coming into effect. So it's a very, very important time, and we remember that time at Easter, leading up to Easter. But God wanted us to look at this scripture today for good purpose, because it is very important that we read these words of His. And so Pilate went out to meet with the authorities, the Jewish authorities, and they wanted Jesus to be killed. They didn't want him just to be stoned. They could have stoned him, actually, if they wanted to, but they decided they wanted something much more severe. In the midst of all of these things, we need to remember that the hand of God, and we were talking about the providence of God, right, last week, the Bible study this week. So God had his plan for Jesus to go to the cross, and so we know that that was going to be fulfilled. So things were in God's hands in all the midst of this. But we still see the evil in mankind, that they wanted the worst kind of death for the Savior. Okay, so this is the picture of, you know, what is happening to Jesus. And Pilate said, take him yourselves and judge him. Right? Judge him by your own law. And the Jews said to him, it's not lawful for us to put anyone to death. And so what that meant was that the Roman law had forbidden capital punishment. Right? They couldn't take that into their own hands. And so they knew that, and they had to come up with a political reason to bring Jesus into the Roman court. He said, you have your own law, go and do what you want with it. But they said, we can't kill him that way, so we want to bring him to you, so you'll carry that out. But it says in the verse before that, our section today, this was to fulfill the word that Jesus had spoken to show what kind of death he was going to die. And so we see the hand of God in this, right? It was all happening according to God's plan, but it's still horrible, right? And so this is the point that we now reach the scripture for today, and we want to center on really the words of Jesus. So we'll get there in a moment. So Pilate enters into his headquarters again after meeting outside with the Jews, the leaders. And he called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Very important question, because he wanted to find out, was Jesus a threat to the Romans? Was he a threat to the Roman government? Right? He's seeing things completely from those grounds. When you go in, if you've served jury duty, you know you go in and they have a set of different things that they're looking for to prove or disprove. And so they have these kind of things lined up. And Pilate was looking at Jesus not as the Jewish people. He could care less about the Jewish people and their laws. He wanted to know, is it true that they wanted him to feel that there was a reason to kill Jesus under Roman law? And so this question was very important for him to know the answer to. But Jesus takes him into the kingdom of God. So even though Pilate is a man, a very important man here, it's Jesus who rules this conversation. Okay? Pilate enters into his, and he called Jesus and said to him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus answers this, and this is the first point of learning that we have to take a look at this morning from the Lord. Jesus answered, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did others say it to you about me?" And I feel that the Holy Spirit is saying to us today through these words of Jesus, he said, "Did you hear that from them?" Right? Or, "Do you say this of your own accord, or did the others say it to you about me?" And I believe what Jesus really wants us to know here is, do you believe in me because of your own accord, of your own feelings, your own faith, your own belief, or do you just say it because of what's been told to you? Where is your faith? And this is Jesus Christ standing supposedly at the hands of the Roman government, and he is, in a way, he's the Son of God, but he is witnessing himself to Pilate with everlasting life, with the words of the kingdom of God. And that is one of the things that we want to keep in mind when we're living in this world. Okay? The first lesson, right, that we're living in this world is that we serve the King of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of man. Right? And it's to Jesus Christ we answer. And it needs to come of our own volition. It has to become from our own faith, from our own belief. And there's a wealth that we could say about that maybe another time, but that is the first point here for us to look at here with Jesus. He takes over the conversation at that moment. He turns it to this point, and he speaks to him man to man, but Son of Man to a man, right? But still, he was fully man and fully God speaking to this man, and I believe he was also witnessing to him about the kingdom of God. Jesus came to save people and bring them into the kingdom. So it's a remarkable, remarkable instance of Jesus Christ in the world here on this earth, speaking to someone and talking to them about kingdom things, kingdom of God. And we're going to go a little bit further now and see how this develops, right? Pilate hears the part of, are you saying this of your own accord or because of what people told you? And he says, "Am I a Jew?" And he takes offense at this. "Am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you over to me. What have you done?" So he's been given the words of life by Jesus, and he takes offense that he would have any association with those people at all. And that is what happens often in the world today, is that people hear the words of Christ and they hear the words of God, but they take offense at them. And they don't want to be associated with those things at all because they're so deeply immersed in the world. And Jesus rips us out of the world through his salvation, through his love for us, through his sacrifice for us. He takes us out of that and he brings us into the reality of truth. Jesus says this to him, what have you done? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. He doesn't say, what have you done? He doesn't answer that question in that way. He is in control of this, okay? My kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might not be delivered over to the Jews. But my kingdom is not from the world. And so he's making this very, very clear distinction for all of us here, you know, in sitting here and reading these words, that there is a kingdom of God and there's a kingdom of the world. But he is not of that kingdom of the world. He is the kingdom of God. And that's one of the biggest lessons through all of the Bible, is that there is a kingdom of God. And that is the one that we should desire as people created by God to live in and to worship God in and to live our lives into eternity in. And that is why Jesus came, to make that clear. And so he's teaching a lesson about the kingdom, even before Pilate, the governor of Rome, a human being. But he's also making clear to him, you know, that there is nothing that he has done against the Roman government, okay? And so he says, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have been fighting that I might be delivered over to the Jews, but my kingdom is not from this world. Jesus is not of this world. And so that is going to be speaking towards Pilate in hopes of also helping him to see that he is God, not of this world. It's a kingdom of the, but Pilate doesn't pick up on that at all. He says to him, then Pilate said to him, so you are a king. So he's still trying to drive into this rationale, this thing. I have this kind of a law that I'm looking at in my Roman law, and they've told me that Jesus has broken the law and that he's a heretic and he's against Caesar, the king. And he's telling me, I'm not of this world. I am a king, but I'm not of this world. But Pilate is still trying to grab onto that to see if there's any grounds to put him to death for the Jews. So you are a king, and Jesus says this, and this is the part here that we want to pay attention to, especially today. Jesus said, you say that I am a king. For this purpose I was born, and for this purpose I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. And that is what God wants us to follow up with after last week's discussion about the truth. Jesus says, you say I am king. For this purpose, I came into the world. I was born, and for this purpose, I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth listens to my voice. And then we have the answer, Pilate saying, what is truth? He doesn't have any grounds. How do we know that he's not going to pursue this anymore? He goes to the Jews and he says, I find no guilt in him. He has not fit into the scenario that we're measuring here to say that he is a threat to Rome. Okay, we're going to finish up a little bit more because there's more that comes after that. But really, in reality, he's saying to him, this guy is talking about something completely different, and he's no threat to anybody. So he is talking about, to him, it could have been some kind of a fairy tale or something. You know, he's probably thinking, what have I gotten myself into by handling this case for these people? But he didn't fit that scenario. But what Jesus did do is he gave us a very, very good lesson for living in the world that we live in today. First of all, It is nothing new that we live in a world where everything that seemed to have been right is wrong now, and the wrong things seem to be what is right. It is not new. He came into this world to bring witness to the truth. And so at the time he came into the world, people were lying. They were living lives of lies. They were living in untruth. And so we are not to be surprised in the world that we live in today when we see these things. We better understand why Jesus had to come into the world. Because he is the truth. And it is his truth that we concentrate on. And it's in his kingdom we live. And it's in his kingdom we find the means for living in a world such as our darkness, where there is untruth, where there isn't truth to be found. So please remember this. I have come into the world to bear witness to the truth. It was the purpose to which I was born, and this purpose I have come into the world. We were talking with children about giving you hope and a purpose. The purpose is found in the truth of Jesus. He is the one who gives them hope and fills their hearts with dreams, because he is eternal and he is greater than the untruth in this world. And that's why it's so important they need him, to find him, so that they know in their hearts that there is true hope, because there is truth found in God. Okay, that's one point. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. Everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. And so what is the truth? The truth is that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. That is the truth. And there isn't anything that can change it in the world. It's a promise that extends into eternity. And everyone who's of the truth listens to my voice. Those who know the truth, the gospel message, the salvation of God, the one who has made them and created them, hear his voice and listen to him, and they live their lives accordingly. Right? And so this is what God wants for us to hear today. That you're living in a world where many things seem upside down and it seems like there's nothing to be trusted, but I am here and I am truth. And it's for this purpose that Jesus Christ came into the world, to show mankind that there is hope, that there is a loving God, that there is a kingdom that is greater than the world here. Because this world is on unlimited time, but God's kingdom is forever. Let me read you a few words about that in Psalm 145. It's not just there, it's all over scripture about the kingdom. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. This is verse 10 in Psalm 145. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. That's the kingdom of God. So we don't want to be like Pilate, seeing only the law of this world. We see God's superior law that is one filled with grace and with justice. And that is the other element that we need to remember today. There is justice and there is righteousness because God is here. It exists in the world. There is justice and there is righteousness. And those who do not answer, who turn away like Pilate, and reject that justice and righteousness of Christ on the cross, who only hear about him and maybe mention him in passing, but they're only going off what they've been taught by other people instead of knowing it and accepting and having faith in Christ in their own hearts, they will be judged. There is a judge. He's a righteous and just judge. And he promises that all people will have to come before him. And they'll have to answer for their lives. And so when we live in a world such as ours, where there seems to be no such thing, we need to remember what the Bible teaches us about those things. That God sent his son, Jesus, stood before a man who, to all the world and to the Jews, looked like he had the power to take the life of someone or to spare them. Right? And allowed himself to be killed because his love was so great for you and me. And that is so wonderful. And therefore we have hope. Why is my soul cast down within me? Hope in God. These are the words that we have in our bulletin today, right? It's the call to worship. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my salvation and my God. There are times when we go through sorrows. We had an ESL class the other night, and we've been looking for one verse each time. One verse that we can go through. And it's amazing. It's been a real lesson to me. Because we have used longer passages. And we just take one verse. It's amazing what you can talk about and think about and learn from God in one verse. Right? And we had this verse that is so amazing. Let me read you that one too. It's a psalm. I wasn't planning on sharing this, but I feel like it's important, so let me just find that. Listen to this. David has been under great duress. His life has been attacked by enemies and all these different things. The Philistines were going after him. What does he say to God? You have kept, this is verse 8 of Psalm 56. You have kept count of my sorrows and put my tears in your bottle. Are they not written in your book? And we really felt that was so moving. Because there are a lot of people who have sorrows in their heart right now, and they're going through tough things, and they're looking for some answer for that. But God's word comes to us and says, I have your tears in my bottle. I've collected your tears in my bottle, right? I've written down your sorrows and all the things that are on your minds and your concerns in my book. I've kept track of all of your sorrows. And that means that he is caring for you in those times of sorrow. That he cares about us in the times that don't seem to make sense and things go wrong and everything seems upside down. But Jesus comes to us with his great love and he says, I have your tears in my bottle here. I'm keeping track of those things. You're important to me. One of the things we talked about in the class is to use the word in a different way. And sometimes we lose track of things, right? Keeping track. And then you lose track. And it was so fun to hear some of the answers that, some of the sisters were giving to those answers and making sentences using those. You can try it sometime. Join the class. You can. But it's fun because you start to see what's going on in the mind of everyone. You hear how they're going to express themselves, I hope the sister doesn't mind if I share this one, but I won't say who it was, but she was saying, I keep track of my daughter on GPS. and I was like, does she know that? but it's this kind of a thing where we hear what God is doing, and we can kind of have some fun with it. But his keeping track of us and how a mother is keeping track of her daughter to the kid, it could be like, I want my space, like my grandson said to me the other day. Grandpa, I need my space. And so you, you start to see that inside the hearts of one another when you get into God's word and he draws you out of it and you start to look at life in that kind of a way. And that is what Jesus was offering to Pilate. Isn't that amazing? He was standing there, you know, ministering to Pilate and hoping upon hopes that he would see that he was not of this world. My kingdom is not this. What would he be expected to think at that moment? He's thinking, I need an answer that's going to give me a clear answer so I can go back to these people that are hounding me. I have other things to do. And Jesus takes him into the realm of the kingdom of God. It's the kingdom of God that is filled with the God who keeps track of our sorrows and our tears in a bottle and in his record book and in his heart. That's the kind of thing we're talking about here. And that is what we are to do in our world. We are to be his witnesses. We are to go to people and to share with them and to listen to what their answers are and see where their minds are and those kind of things. And therein we see the heart of God at work. And so God is calling us today to have faith that is not from someone else or heard from someone else that he is the king, but to receive him as king and to live for him. And then when we live in this world as his people, we are fully knowledgeable that the things that are going on in this world are because they are following another king. And we all came from that ourselves, so we should know that. And not be surprised by those things, but be equipped through the word of God, as it's written in God's word, to equip ourselves as light and be the salt in this society, to let them know that there is a God who keeps track of their sorrows and their fears. There are going to be people we won't reach. There are going to be people like Pilate who are not reached. The man, I said we would come back to this, right? We came back to this, the scripture here, and the thing that he does after that is this. He says, I find no guilt in him. How about we trade him for one? There's a law we usually on this day, you know, we can set free one prisoner. How about you decide, you know, who it is that you want? And they said, we don't want that other guy, the real criminal. We want this one. We want Jesus to die. And that's how Pilate washed his hands of the whole thing. And brothers and sisters, we don't want to do that with God. We do not want to do that with God. We need to remember who he is. And we need to worship him in our lives. And we need to turn to him when we are really confused and needing answers and wanting to know what to do. And so yesterday we had a wonderful time in our church where there's something called, not just something, but a wonderful mission called Jesus Loves New Jersey. And there were 29 people who gathered in the fellowship hall downstairs and were trained by wonderful people on how to share the gospel. And they shared their lives, their own children, little children who went out with their family to share the gospel in parts of New Jersey. And they came to share with us, and they were very loving in helping us to be able to understand how to do that. And then many people went out from there into the malls and the surrounding areas to the markets, and they looked for people to share the news that Jesus loves them. And it was a wonderful thing. And they made these kind of associations, they made these kind of things here. So what I'd like to do, if you don't mind, I'm going to ask Alfred, would you come up and just give a short testimony about something that you, this is completely spontaneous, but I feel like it would be good for you to say it rather than I. Okay, can you come up and maybe Lee-Chan, you could also say a few words after that, okay?
Thank you, Pastor John. Praise the Lord. Glory to the Lord. And actually, I just remember this. I mentioned to Pastor John. The first person that we witnessed, our team, was with someone from our church. We ran into Kwong and his mom and Maria at Target and Bergen Town Center. That was where we were supposed to go and witness. So a brother from another church by Edison, my mother-in-law Nancy and me are one of the eight teams. We're a team of three. So I'll be very short. There were, as we were prepared, there were rejection. People will walk past you. People will avoid you. But that was what Jesus went through too. Same with Brother Paul, same with Peter. So we were prepared in our hearts. But the moments of joy when someone does want to hear, or when other Christians walked by and they saw what we were doing, we were thoroughly encouraged. I remember I was speaking with two ladies, and they were nice enough to stop by, and I chatted with them and somehow got into the conversation of, what about eternal life? Have you thought about how to get to heaven? And their reply was, well, to trust in the Lord and the Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm like, okay, so you're a Christian. And so they said they are very encouraged and thank you for doing this. And we prayed. I prayed a lot with everyone. And there was one memorable one. I'll end with this. There was a young girl with her mother. The girl maybe 11, 12 years old. And we were talking. There's a 5-minute script that we would go through about a gift in heaven and how we need to receive the gift, but we cannot because of our sin, and how Jesus came and allow us to go through sacrifice for us. So there's a 5-minute script, and I was so surprised that she wanted to hear it. So we kept going, and towards the end, I see her eyes really start to open, glow up. The mom also stayed behind. They took a picture of the pamphlet that laid out the 4 stages of things that we were to talk about. And then we prayed. I prayed the sinner's prayer. They prayed in their heart. So I'm thankful them, Jessica, the mom, and Sally, the daughter. So it was an hour. There was a lot of prep work by a lot of people, and we just stood for God and witnessed there. So it's a faithful time. Thank you.
Morning. Before I share, I just want to say that because what's happening in the world, I feel my heart was very heavy, and today our praise worship and the message bring me again to the understanding that the answer for us to deal with the problems in the world often it's very overwhelming that we don't know what to do because we're so small. But the answer is to worship God and bring our attention to His kingdom. And yesterday, when we went out to do that, it was just that. And today we're here, we're just doing that. And it just, I felt like, God, you are so good. You know that we are so insignificant and small. We don't know what to do, but we just want to show you our heart. We want to live for you and want to be in your kingdom, and you guide us. So when we went out yesterday, my team was Vivian, Yasser, and Lurk from the Chinese congregation. We went to Mizuwa, but because Mizuwa didn't allow us to go into the store and not even stand near by the store, so we just walk around the parking lot and the pathway that is along the river. And we had signs that people donated for us to use. We encountered probably about 50 people because it was like in the middle of the day, it's very hot, so there were not as many people there out walking. So we encounter about 50, and some of them, when they saw our signs, they right away they look at somewhere else and kind of walk kind of a little bit away from us. So we know they are not interested at all. We just still say hello, God bless you, Jesus loves you. And there were about maybe 30 people we did have verbal contact with, and some are really friendly. One man, when I was going to give him the truck, it fell on the ground. He stood and waited for me and put his hand out to take the truck. So it was really encouraging. And a lot of them said they are already believers. And then because they were walking and we are walking too, so it didn't seem like there was an opportunity for our team to really have a 5 minutes time with anybody to go through the gospel, but we did give them and said, now would you please take this and read. So some were very friendly, and like Alfred said, some just kept telling us, great that you're doing this. And one woman came up to us and said she's looking for a church, so we gave her the information of our church. So yesterday we learned that the reason we go to the street is not to see what kind of result we are bringing. First, we are showing God that we are obedient to His command. Two, we want to go out there so the name of Jesus was seen by everybody. Three, that we, by us being there, we could encourage other Christians. Because they see us there, they feel encouraged. Four, it becomes a lifestyle. The more we do it, the easier it will get, and we will know it's not about us, but the result is in God. We might be out there to spread the seed, or maybe we are watering somebody who is already growing. We don't know, but the result is in God's hand. So we hope that that was not the first and last time in our church. We can all go out to share the gospel and to have the blessing of knowing that this is a most important thing for this world. We cannot offer any high and mighty answers, but we can tell them God loves you and Jesus is the way for you to receive the abundant life and for you to receive an eternal life. Praise to Him.
Hi, so this was my first time doing anything like street evangelism. The first person said she was a Christian, and then the second person said that she was looking for a church potentially. And we had a lot of people who said they were already Christians and Jesus loves you too, but like I got the feeling that they were just kind of trying to brush us off, but only God knows their hearts. So we, at the end of the time, we just kind of stood by the target and said, hi, Jesus loves you, God bless you, good afternoon, God bless you. And a lot of people kind of just walked by. There was one woman who actually said her first language was Spanish, so I did actually prepare a lot of Spanish, and I had this one woman who said she was from Argentina, so I spoke to her in Spanish, and I asked her if she wanted a tract in Spanish, and she said, oh, I already have one. But I was kind of happy that I got to practice my Spanish. And that's pretty much all. I took some video. There was one, I actually got it on video. They said, we don't want to talk to you, which kind of hurt me on the inside. But, yeah. It was a good time. We learned a lot about each other, so it blessed us maybe more than blessing the people. We kind of had a time of fellowship. So yeah, okay, thank you, bye.
So there are things that we can do in these times that we live in, just like the first disciples at the time that Jesus lived, and the ones that he sent out encountered all kinds of different things. They lived in a world that was filled with lies and untruth, but it's something that we can take heart in knowing that Jesus came to bring truth into our lives, something that people will be able to recognize when they hear it, and they may reject it, but many people will receive it because they're waiting to see truth. And God is trustworthy and faithful. And he showed it not just by saying it, by showing it and sending his son. We are going to have a time. We're going to try to find a time as soon as possible where we can gather anyone who would like to pray. It's not an easy world that we're living in right now. There are many things going on. But at the class last week, Yasser was saying that we could pray, you know, and so we talked some more, and it would be good for us to have a forum, another Zoom call or something like that during the week where people can join, and we can pray together for this world and pray that the gospel will come into the world and that people who are sorrowing will be encouraged and given hope, so that they can face these things with victory in Christ. Amen.